There's a word from the Lord, y'all. There's a word from the Lord found in Psalm 3, God's word, Psalm 3. We'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. We'll read it in its entirety, Psalm 3. It says, O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. This morning, I want to speak from the thought, a good prescription for bad days. A good prescription for bad days. And so, y'all, I recently read this article titled, You Know It's a Bad Day When. It's a humorous article, kind of joking. It goes something like this. You know it's a bad day when your boss tells you not to bother to take off your coat. You know it's a bad day when you put both contact lenses in the same eye. You know it's a bad day when your income tax check bounces. You know it's a bad day when the bird singing outside your window is a vulture. You know it's a bad day. This will be my last one. You know it's a bad day when you wake up to discover that your water bed broke. Then you remember that you don't have a water bed. Okay, we'll let that go. Now listen. You have to think about it for a minute. You know, you may or may not find these jokes funny or humorous, but here's the reality. We all deal with bad days. I don't care what nick of the woods you're from. We all deal with bad days. And we don't find it humorous. We don't find it joking. We don't take it jokingly when we deal with bad days and have bad experiences. It's not a joke. It's a bad day when a loved one dies. It's a bad day. It's a bad day when you go to the doctor's office and they mention the C word. That's a bad day. It's a bad day when a spouse walks out on you. It's a bad day when your teenage daughter comes home to tell you that she's pregnant. It's a bad day. And maybe that may not be your experience or your bad day, but we all have bad days. Sometimes it's just a bad day when you get up and go to work and the tire is on the flat and then the refrigerator's not working and the AC goes out all on the same day. That's a bad day. We all have bad days. At the very moment when you think life is all together, everything is going hunky-dory, everything is going well, things fall apart.
All right now.
So I want to talk about somebody today. You want to talk about somebody who had a bad day? I want to talk about a king by the name of David. That David reigned as a king of Israel for decades, that he reigned in majesty, that he was a capable military leader and warrior, that he was wealthy, that he lived in a nice crib, y'all. He lived in a palace. David had lots of wives and many servants. David had many servants. Really, David had many servants, y'all. David had absolute authority over those that he ruled over. You better not mess with David. David could speak a word and you would be gone. But here's what I know about David too, that David was a man after God's own heart. That David had God's favor in his life. But one day, y'all, things fell apart in the life of David. Many of us know the story of David and how he sinned with Bathsheba. He had her husband Uriah killed. We know the story. David repented, but though he repented, it set a chain of events. God ordained devastating chain of events in the life of David. David's oldest son, Amnon, raped his half-sister.
That's right.
Her name was Tamar. Tamar's brother Absalom took revenge by murdering Amnon. And so Amnon flees for his life. He thinks his daddy wants to kill him, and so he's gone for a number of years. And eventually Absalom returns. For at least 2 years, his daddy, David, didn't want to have anything to do with him. And so in his resentment, in his rebellion, Absalom, he formed a coup. He found groups of people that didn't really like David. I don't care who you are, somebody will always not like you. And you'll always find those kinds of people that you find it in the church today that, listen, somebody don't like somebody. And so you find that group of people that don't like that person, and y'all get on your own bandwagon. You have your own party against that person. And so Absalom does this. He gets this group of people that really don't care for David anyway. He forms this coup against his own daddy. He and his thuggish mob, y'all, they decide, listen, we're gonna take him out. Absalom seeks to kill his own father. And so David realized, what am I going to do here? And so he didn't want to lay hands on his own son. And so he packs up his stuff, y'all. He packs up his wives and his servants and all of his stuff, and he flees Jerusalem. He gets out of town. And you find this weeping and barefooted David that leaves town with his head hung low in shame. I think that's a bad day. I don't know about you. That's a bad day. Let me ask you a question. What is your prescription for bad days? What's your remedy for bad days? If some of you are like me, listen, I just rather not say anything. I want the day over with as soon as possible. I want the issue out of my life as soon as possible. I don't want anybody to talk. Just leave me alone. How do you really deal with your bad days? There's some people will drink their bad day away. Some people try to think it away. Some people will pop peel it away. Some people will smoke it away, cry it away, deny it away. But the reality is bad days happen. And the question I'm asking you, what do you do about your bad days?
Help us now.
So this morning I want to offer this text as a prescription, as a remedy, as a solution for bad days. Those days when, listen, sometimes you don't feel like getting out of the bed. Those days when your head is hung low. Those days when you feel depressed. Bad days. What do you do about your bad days? Let me offer you something today. And so Psalm 3, understand something. The backdrop of Psalm 3 is the story I just told you about David and his son Absalom wanting to kill. It's the backdrop of this story of Psalm 3. And so the first thing I want you to notice is the fact that David stated his problem to God. That's how we start this prescription, this remedy for our bad days, whatever day it might be. David stated his problem to God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue him. Throughout the text, you'll see the word Selah. Which oftentimes when we state the text or we read the psalm, 71 mentioned in the psalms, another 3 in the book of Habakkuk, we really don't say the word. It's a musical notation, some to believe. So we really don't say that word. God will never rescue him. David stated the problem. David says that, listen, oh Lord. David uses the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. And the name Yahweh is a personal covenant name of God. We see it in Exodus 3 when God reveals himself to Moses that he's the God of Yahweh at the burning bush.
That's right.
For David to address God as Yahweh implies an intimate, personal cry out to God.
Yeah.
It reminds me of how young children, when they're in trouble, when they fall and scrape a knee or they hear things go bump in the middle of the night in their own bedroom, they cry out to mommy or daddy. That's what David was doing to God. He was crying out to God. Oh, Lord, oh, my Father, oh, my God. When was the last time you cried out to God like that?
Amen, amen.
In the New Testament, we say, Abba, Father. That denotes a close, intimate relationship with God. David cries out to the oh, Lord. Then David states to God, I have so many enemies, so many against me. David's adversaries, y'all, they were increasing in number. David always had some enemy, somebody always against him, but they begin to multiply. It reminds me of the time that one of the houses we lived in some years ago, in one of the bedrooms, it always seemed that a few ants would kind of form around the ceiling area. I think they called them acrobatic ants or something like that. But I mean, they literally hang around on the ceiling. And so, you know, I get the bug juice, I get the hot shot, the raid, or whatever. Right. Okay, good, they did.
All right.
A few days later, I come back, y'all, and a few more ants just dancing around on the ceiling. What's going on here? Okay, they're dead. After doing that several times, y'all, I said, something's going on in this room, in this house. And so I'm looking around the room. I find this small hole in the wall in one of the corners of the house. It's a small hole, and I see a couple of ants dancing around that hole. That's where they're coming from. And so I start reading up on this, y'all. I took some powder. They call it, I think it's called borax. Maybe, you know, and I start squirting it in the hole, and ants start pouring. I mean, pouring out in thousands out of the hole. And so I'm borax. I'm stomping and I'm killing. That it was an ant infestation. When I think about David and the enemies that were coming against him, that it was an infestation. That everywhere he looked, there were enemies everywhere, more than he could number. There was a multitude. Sometimes, have you ever felt like, just felt like it? Maybe it wasn't true, but you ever felt like when it came to enemies and things against you that you had an infestation?
Yeah, Lord, yes, Lord.
That everywhere you looked, it was someone or something coming against you. David was saying, I got an infestation of enemies, God. I need you to do something about them. And so David's enemies were also, look at the text, so many are saying God will never rescue him. So they're really attacking David's relationship with God. But perhaps they were bringing up David's past. When you look at the story in 2 Samuel, they're talking about him and his relationship with Saul. They're calling David a murderer. So perhaps they're talking about what happened between him and Bathsheba. People will talk, you know.
What?
They'll talk to everybody but you.
What?
And so perhaps they're whispering about David, listen, you're a murderer, man. How can you say that you love God? Look at what you did. We know about you, David. You're nobody. God doesn't love you. God doesn't want you. And y'all, we can feel that way sometimes, y'all. That when things come against us, enemies come against us, people come against us, we could even feel that way. Listen, why would God even want to hang out with me?
Yeah.
Why would God want to be, why would God want to rescue me? And you better believe that they're talking about David. They're taunting David. They're telling him, listen, God will not rescue you, but these are the same people that David loved. These are the same people that he prayed for. These are the same people that he cared. These are the same people. And now here they are in their arrogance saying, God's not going to help you, David. Who do you think you are? But David states his problem to God. He brings his case to God. And I think a good prescription, a good remedy for a bad day is to start by letting God know what the problem is. Now, it's not as if God didn't already know.
That's right.
Whenever you talk to God in prayer about what you're going through, listen, you're not informing God about anything. God already knows. But this is what happens when you go to God in prayer and you tell God about your troubles. You tell God about your problems. What you're doing is you're lifting the burdens from your shoulder, from your heart, and you're giving them to God. And God can handle your burden. God can handle your stress. God can handle the problem. So tell God all about it.
Amen.
Don't try to be so high and holy and try to tell yourself, listen, I can do this all by, I got this. Now, be honest with yourself. You've gone through some experience, and you know you didn't have it. You had to turn that thing over to God. Something we didn't have to give to God. Give it to God.
Yeah.
Casting all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you, and God can handle it.
Thank you, Lord.
So David stated his problem to God. The next thing David does, y'all, David shifted his focus on God. Verses 3 through 4, but you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. David says, but you, O Lord. I'm not talking about mama and them, daddy and them, cousin them, ain't in them, but you, O Lord. So he shifts the badness of his experience, and he focuses on God. And so to get through tough times, that lets us know that oftentimes we have to shift the focus from the badness of our experience to the goodness of God.
That's good.
I think I said this in previous week. Stop talking about your problem. Oftentimes, we can talk more about the problem, more about the situation than we do about God's ability to deliver us and to bring us out. And here again, David's not trying to, he says, but you, O Lord, are, he's not trying to puff God up. He's stating the truth about God. And David is stating the truth based upon his track record with God and God's track record with him. David says, the Lord is a shield. And I want to let you know this morning, the Lord is your shield.
Thank you, Lord.
This simply means that God is our protector and our defender. He shields us from the enemies that attack us.
Yeah.
Enemies seen and unseen.
Yeah.
We see this in Ephesians chapter 6 where it says, take up the shield of faith. The shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And so see how David personalized it. A shield around me. Not just a shield in front of me. Not just a shield behind me. But a shield all around me. I remember a couple of years ago, a storm blew through San Antonio. Blew down half of the fence in our backyard. And so our neighbors have dogs. If Chris is listening to this, Chris, you know I love you, man. But Chris has three dogs, y'all. Half the fence blew down on Chris's side. And y'all, I get up in the morning, his dog sitting in the yard, sitting in my yard, sitting on my lawn furniture like they own something. Like, look at me, what you going to bring us to eat today? Just sitting in my yard. And Chris has this one little yap dog. He's just tiny, but I guess he thinks he's a lion, but he's ready to attack at any time. And so day in and day out, I get up and these dogs really, because the fence is down. And finally, you remember, I try to get some sticks, y'all, and try to prop the fence up. I'm tired of these dogs. I'm waiting for the folks to come repair it, the insurance, all this stuff to work out. I try to prop the fence up. It's up for about a day. Boom, it falls back down. Here the dogs are looking again. Hey, we're at the house again. How you doing? But finally, they came and fixed the fence. And finally, I had a fence all around me. The dogs couldn't get back in again. I think this says something about God, that he'll be a fence all around you, that he'll keep every enemy away from you, that God will protect you, that God is your defender. Our prayer ought to be, Jesus, be a fence all around me every night and every day. The Lord is your shield. Don't you know that today? He's your defender and he is your protector. Faith tells me that the Lord is a fence all around me. But not only that, the Lord is our glory. I like that verse 3. The Lord is our glory. The word glory here takes on the meaning of distinction and honor and reputation. Before things went south for David, David had a form of glory. David had reputation. He had status, distinction. That David was honored as a great king. But then things went south. David was a king and a warrior. But here's the thing. David says, you are my glory. David understood that his glory came from God, that his reputation, his status, whatever people say good, they said about it, it came from God. It didn't come from him.
Amen.
And although David had great earthly acclaim before this calamity happened, he acknowledges that he identifies with God, that God is simply his glory. Man's glory will fade, y'all.
Right.
Our distinction and our reputation, all it takes is one mess up and our glory is destroyed. But God's great glory is consistent. It shines forever and forever and forever. David was really saying in the text, listen, whether I remain king or not, because David runs out to the wilderness, y'all. David is out there barefooted, crying and stuff. He's out there, and he's saying, in essence, God, listen, if you restore me to my kingdom, if I sit on the throne again, fine. If I don't sit on the throne again, that's okay too. But one thing David knew, that God was his glory. Amen. The Lord restores our joy. I'm moving on. Verse 3 again. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. The Lord restores our joy. To hold the head high, or to lift up the head, is a Hebrew expression for restoring someone who's been cast down in dignity and position. Some of you remember the story in Genesis chapter 40, around verse 13. Joseph and the baker and the butler.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all remember one of those rascals? Look, they were both in prison. But the king was going to kill both of them. But Joseph told the baker, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to office, that your dignity will be restored, that your position will be restored. And so by way of application, it refers to God's restoring our joy when life comes at us hard and fast and we experience bad days and hard days and difficult days. Then listen, God will restore your joy.
Yeah.
And that's where it makes sense where we use the script, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What you know about God, what you know about God's reputation, and God has kept you in the past and what God is doing in your life right now. God will restore your joy. Focus on God. Let him be your glory. Focus on God. Let him be your joy. I remember Tupac said, keep your head up.
All right.
Some of y'all remember that. Ooh, child.
All right.
Things are going to get easier. Ooh, child. Keep your head up.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Y'all. I'm talking to some folk that don't know. But God wants you to keep your head up. And in your bad days, God will lift your head up. God will cause you to stand tall and to keep your eyes focused on him. And then it says, the Lord is our prayer answering God. That's what I get in verse 4. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I prayed to God, God answered me. The Lord is our prayer answering God. And so understand that the structure of this text, I cried out to the Lord. The way it's structured is not I cried one time, but I kept on crying.
That's right.
I kept on praying. I kept on talking to God. I kept verbally, I kept on crying out to God, and God heard me.
Thank you, Lord.
I need you, Lord. I need you right now. I need you, God, to come quick, fast, in a hurry. God, you know my circumstance. He cried out to God. This wasn't some quiet. Oh, Lord, I need you. No, he cried out.
All right.
I see that as loud.
Come on out.
Yeah.
When was the last time you really cried out to God?
Come on.
Ask yourself, when was the last time you really cried out to God? You needed him quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yes,
and you cried out to God. David says, what does he say in the text? And he answered me from where, y'all? His holy mountain. I love this portion of the text because this holy mountain refers to Mount Zion. It refers to the place in Jerusalem where the Ark of the Covenant was. And as we said last week, the Ark of the Covenant represents what? God's presence. That he heard me from the place that he was. Now, when you read out the story, there was a high priest by the name of Zadok. And Zadok, as David is leaving, Zadok and the other priests, they pick up the Ark, God's, and they begin to take it with them. But they say, hold your horses, stop just 1 minute. Take the Ark of the Covenant, take it back to Jerusalem. Leave it there, don't take it with us. Again, David was saying, listen, if God restores me and I come back, I'll be in the presence of God. But if God decides not to do that, that's okay too. What David was saying in essence is what we ought to say. No matter where you might be in life, you can always call on the name of God. You can always pray to God. You don't have to be at the church house to pray to God. Anybody went, listen, you were having a bad day at work and you went to the third stall of the bathroom, you shut the door and you said, and you cried out to God. That you don't have to be in the house of God. Wherever you are, you can pray to God. I remember, y'all, I remember this when I was younger and we would get in trouble. Mom would take us out to the grocery store or to the shopping center, to the Sears and Roebuck, and we start acting crazy. Mama had a belt in her purse. And mama would get us right where we were acting up. She wouldn't play. She pull out the, and she'd get you right there and dare anybody to say anything. Boy, times have changed. I believe this, y'all. Listen, wherever problems start acting up in our lives, that's where we ought to pull out prayer and begin to call on the name of the Lord. That's where we ought to shout, wherever it happens, whether you're in traffic or you're at work or you're at the house or you're at the church, that's where we ought to cry out to God. Wherever you are, David was in the wilderness. The Ark of the Covenant was back in Jerusalem, and David called on the name of the Lord, and God heard him. The Lord is our prayer answering God. David shifted his focus to God in prayer. Then David sensed God's peace. Verses 5 and 6. I love this. David said, I laid down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I'm not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. And so after David cried out in prayer, verse 5 shows us that he went to bed in sleep, y'all, in peace. He went to bed in peace. He wasn't at home in the bed. He wasn't in the palace on his soft cushiony, Tempur-Pedic, whatever they had in that day. That David was outdoors. David was in the wilderness. David was on the hard ground. David was going through, but guess what? David laid down, and he went to sleep. You know, I think one of the greatest pictures in our lives, that when we really trust God, is when we're going through some bad days and some bad experience, and we're still able to lay down and go to sleep. Reminds me of, who was it, Peter, when he was in jail. And they were about to execute him the next day. And Peter was there in the jail, two guards on either side of him. Angel had to come and touch Peter. People, wake up, wake up. I'm getting you out of here, man. But Peter was lying there. He was asleep in jail, knowing he was going to be executed on the next day. When was the last time you went through something? For real, though. For real, for real. And you had to go to your bed, lay down, and stuff was tore up from the floor up. I mean, torn up from the floor up with the right vernacular. But it was sure enough jacked up. But you laid your head down, and you didn't need no Xanax. You didn't need no Nightall. You didn't need nothing. But you laid down. And with the peace of God in your heart, you went to sleep. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Right. When was the last time you had a good sleep when you were going through a problem? We need to learn to do that, y'all. That we're offered a great prescription for bad experience or bad days in our lives. David receives a report that thousands of enemies surrounded him. What was his response? I am not afraid. When the Lord is your shield and the one who sustains you, the odds are against you. Listen, when God is on your side, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be afraid. Somebody once said, one plus God is a majority. Paul said it this way, if God be for us, who can be against us? I think there's Horatio Spafford. He wrote in a great hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. David believed it was well with his soul. He was able to lay down and go to sleep. Anybody remember that old children's prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mama, God bless daddy, God bless the dog. You remember that prayer? That's the kind of prayers we ought to be able to have. Simple prayers. That when things are bad, when you're having a bad day, bad seasons in your life, you ought to be able to lay down and go to sleep because you trust God all by himself. God can handle your situation. Trust God. So David sensed God's peace. I'm almost done, y'all. Last thing, David saw God's deliverance. Verses 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. And so here again, David really kind of starts back over. He really starts back at verse 1. Because you would think at verse 6, after David had this peace, David would have simply said, amen, it's done. But you go on to verse 7 and David says, arise, oh God, I need you, God. He starts back over again. All right. Here's what I learned out in life for real, though. Listen, we deal with bad experiences. We go through bad seasons in our life. And we get to this point where God will give us his peace. We know God's going to work it out. You know, but so in the make-believe world, we start with an amen. But if we were real with one another and real with ourselves, once we pray to God and God has given us his peace, listen, and we know that, listen, other folks' lives hang in the balance, and listen, it's not just about us, we'll start all over again. God, I need you, God. I need you right now. I know I said it before, oh God, and I trust you and I believe you and I got peace about the situation, but if it's all right, can I cry out just one more time? David cried out again. This time he said, arise, oh Lord. Rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies. You can read the text. God, he said, they rise against me, God. I need you to raise up against them.
Come on.
God, I need you to slap them down like you slap down a dog and break his teeth out. Slap them down, oh God. That's what David is saying. Make them, render them powerless in my life. David saw God's deliverance. David said, God, deliver me, oh God. I love the King James in these verses. It says this, thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheek. Thou hast, H-A-S-T, that's King James. Thou hast broken the teeth. David is talking, y'all, like it's already done. He's pinning this stuff. It ain't happened yet. But thou hast. God, you already did it. This is what I believe about faith. Then listen, and faith will tell you, faith will make you start talking about stuff that has yet to manifest itself, that ain't happened yet, because you trust God just that much. That's real faith. Look, the situation hasn't really manifested itself. It's not resolved yet. The problem's not fixed yet. But you say with your own and your own head, God, you hast done it. Thou hast done it. It ain't happened yet, but God will do it. Do you have that kind of faith in God, that God will deliver you, that you can say, thou hast? Can you King James it? Whatever problem you did, can you say, God, thou hast? God, you've already worked. Thou hast, oh God. You've already fixed the sin. Thou hast, oh God. That God's already fixed it. That's what faith does. Faith claims the very promises of God. And David understood that victory came from God. Didn't come from his troops. Didn't come from his counselors. Didn't come from his military strategy or power. It came from God. David sought God's deliverance. And then David ends with, may you bless your people. We're there. Can you bless your people? Here's David, this anointed king, this powerful king. But as he's praying to God and talking to God, God, don't just do it for me. God, I need you to fix this for your people. When was the last time you prayed that kind of unselfish prayer? When you've experienced some bad things in your life, going through some bad season. God, it's not just about delivering me from my finances. But God, I need you to deliver me for other people. I need to be able to give to the church. I need to be a blessing to somebody else. God, I need you to bring me through this bad marriage situation, oh God, so I can give your name to glory and tell somebody else that's going through a bad marriage that God can fix it, that God can bring you through. I got some health issues in your body. Listen, God, fix it for me, but fix it for other folks so I can give you the testimony, say, God can heal from cancer. God can touch your body and God can deliver you. God bless your people. God bless your people. May you bless your people. So it wasn't just about David. It was about other folk too. And so here it is. Absalom warred against his daddy. Thousands came up against David. But guess what? God gave David deliverance. Read the story out, and Absalom is riding around on a mule and he's got his troops around him and goes by a tree and gets his hair stuck in a tree.
That's what it says.
And so it's the text says that he was bound between heaven and earth, that he was strung up in the tree. And David's mighty warriors, his military commander, came and jabbed him three times with a dagger. 10 men killed Absalom. Kind of a sad story. And David mourned the life of Absalom. But God delivered David. Psalm 3, y'all, it's a prescription for bad days. And it's oftentimes called a morning hymn. It's a song that David penned early in the morning when he woke up and he yet had breath in his body. He pens this psalm to God. You know, there's an article that I read titled 10 Morning Habits to Start Your Day Off Right. Some of those things include, don't check your smartphone. It might just frustrate you. Another habit, drink a glass of warm water. You lose some water, some sweat at night, so hydrate yourself. Make your bed. It's a good habit. A sense of accomplishment. I guess I failed with that one. Thank God for this little bit. Yeah, make your bed up. My thought, y'all, sometimes, listen, you're going to get right back in it. And then y'all can have like 100 pillows up there. It's like, okay, I got to go. Come on, brother girl. Anyway, good. Listen, amen. I'm almost done. And move your body. That's a good habit in the morning. Exercise your body. Start with some good self-care. Get up and refresh yourself. Take a shower. Take a shave. Put on some nice clothes. Get your hair and stuff fixed up. Get your nails. Get yourself fixed up. It makes you feel good, confident about yourself. And eat a healthy breakfast. That's another great habit to start in the morning. But y'all, just one habit that I believe that every child of God ought to do in the morning, that every one of us ought to have a morning hymn. We ought to have a morning praise, a morning word to God, to thank God for his goodness, to thank God for what he's going to do for us. Here is the reality. We don't know what's going to happen in the day. When you wake up in the morning, you don't know whether it's going to be a good day or a bad day. It might be a good day, but it might be a bad day. It might start out as a good day, but end in a bad day. It might be a bad day, but end in a good day. But one thing I know, whether it's a good day or a bad day, we need God. I got any witnesses in the house today. No matter what the day may bring, we need God. And every morning we wake up, we ought to have a praise on our lips and a praise in our hearts, thanking God for the gift of one more day. Anybody glad that you got a morning hymn? You got a morning praise to God? It ain't noon yet. Do you have a praise right now? Can you offer God your best praise right now? Can you give God your morning hymn? Can you give God your morning praise? God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Whatever comes my way this day, oh God, you are with me. Arise, oh Lord. And whatever enemies come my way, oh God, I know you can and you will defeat them. Psalm 3 is a good prescription for a bad day. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word today. God, thank you for offering this word a great prescription for bad days. And when days go south and we don't know what to do, that we can state our problem to you. And after we've stated the problem, God, to focus on you. To focus on your presence, to focus on your power, to focus on your provision. And then to sense your peace, a peace which surpasses all understanding. And God, in our humanness, we can still worry, and so we can go back to stage one again. God, we can call on your name again. We can seek your deliverance. We can cry out to you over and over and over again. God, I pray for the hearts of your people today, whatever they may be going through, whatever their needs might be, that you'd supply that need according to your riches and glory. In our good days and in our bad days, may we forever give you praise and bless your name, because truly you are worthy. There's nobody like you, oh God. And God, we thank you that it was a bad day once upon a time for all of us, because your word says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous, no, not one, not even one. And your word says the wages of sin is death. But God, we thank you for the gift that it was a good day when you sent your son into the world. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he went to Calvary's cross, he died. 3 days later, he got back up with all power in his hands. God, we're thankful for that Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And your word says, and whosoever shall call on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That settles it. Pray right now, oh God, that you speak to the hearts of someone that may not know you in the pardon of their sins. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But we believe right now that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he rose 3 days later with all power. We confess this Jesus as Lord and Savior. We repent, we turn from our sins, and we turn to Jesus, that he is the only way to salvation. So even in this moment, oh God, by the power of your Spirit, speak to the heart of someone who may not know you, that today in this moment, they can and they will come to know you. Do what only you can by the power of your spirit. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.